So we're here to talk about direct measurements of dielectric constant of porous and non-porous media. I'd like to acknowledge Julia Riccardi. She interned with me for a year. She got her master's in geology while she was with me. And also Doug Kobos, who's supplied the soil science portion of this talk. So here we go with the motivation. Current methods for determining water content rely on the measurement of dielectric properties of soils and empirically relating the signals to water content. And what we want to do today is to show how we can get the dielectric constant from our measurement equipment and get not only water content, but also the bound water. The challenges are we're using dielectric measurements, and so we're measuring capacitances. And in order to convert the capacitances into dielectric constants, we need to know the geometrical factor, and that will be a large part of what I try to convey today, is how we get from capacitance through the geometrical factor and then into the dielectric constant. And the challenge here is that we're really measuring small quantities. We're down in the picofarad range most of the time, but occasionally you see us dipping into the femtofarad range. So the approach is we'll be using impedance spectroscopy. The first two speakers were above 100 megahertz. We go from 100 megahertz down to into the hertz range. So we're in a different frequency regime. And we'll be using those measurements to get the geometrical factors. I'm going to describe some immersion experiments, and where I use various liquids with known dielectric constants, and then we'll take the results of this and apply it to sandy loam. Okay. There's a look at the apparatus. You can see the Wayne Kerr impedance spectrometer. It goes from 20 megahertz to 20 hertz to 120 megahertz. And so what the measurands are the impedance and the phase angle. This is the probe we're using. And we're using insulated probes. That means we're using the copper that's inside a normal printed circuit board. And the FR4, the printed circuit board material, then provides that insulating layer. Initially, we wanted to take our probes and put them as close as we could to the impedance spectrometer to eliminate cabling effects. We did that and then took a jar filled up with liquid and gradually raised it up and so as to get incremental measurements. But we found that was an inappropriate approach because the end effect was constantly changing. So then we went to this kind of configuration, and we used a filling hole. So we brought the liquid level up in increments, and that way we can pull out the end effect and get the pure capacitance per unit length of these probes. So how did we go about that? Well, first we made a model of the of our soil, or in this case the liquid, and we're using a Debye RC circuit model, two capacitors and a resistor, and then the blocking capacitor is symbolized by a single capacitor. So we have an oscillator through the network and then into the detector. So we have a blocking capacitor. The C1, this capacitor, represents the high frequency capacitance. The sum of the two capacitors represents the low-frequency capacitance. R2 is our soil, or in this case, the liquid. And then the product of R2 and C2 is a relaxation time. And I will, at the very end, show you some rather intriguing curves where we took the sandy loam, dried it down, and that you can see the actual draining of the capillaries and into a multilayer and then into structural water. So anticipate some interesting curves right at the end. So our objective is to determine these resistors and capacitors, and then the dielectric constants and relaxation time. So Here's a cartoon of the apparatus. You see the liquid level somewhere here. You see the FR4 hiding the copper that's inside. We have then the electrical circuit is described here, and then the mechanical part of the experiment is described here. So we have an air capacitor, we have a bulk capacitor, R infinity for high frequency, and we have an end effect capacitor. This capacitor is really broken into two other capacitors, the blocking capacitor and a capacitor representing the bulk of the material. And so we have then a network of capacitors with three capacitors in series, the air and end effect capacitors and the one that we're really after. And this guy then is two capacitors in series and represented this way. To get at the blocking capacitor and the bulk capacitor, we use coefficient K, and you'll hear me referring to K and F in this discussion. K is just the capacitance per unit length of the blocking capacitor, and F is the geometrical factor for the bulk capacitor. So our objective then is to determine K and F by measuring the capacitance per unit length by raising we did a filling experiment where we gradually raised the liquid level. So this is dimension Z. We have an H0 and an H. And because you're dealing with a system like this, you have meniscus and other things. You really can't know these measured quantities by looking into the jar. You have to do it by filling the jar with a known amount of liquid, knowing the geometry, and from the mass that you've entered in, you get your distance measure. So here's experimental data. So the red, we go in rainbow colors. So the red, orange or brown, green, blue, purple, and black are rough estimates of the immersions that we've done. And you see the capacitance gradually increases in the high frequency regime and then in the low frequency regime. These are transitions that we see. They're Debye type polarizations that we see in our liquids. Here you see this is the real capacitance and this the imaginary capacitance. Out in the tails out here are cable effects, and we stay away from those. We just look in this regime. Now, what I want to explain to you is how we go about getting the low frequency and the high frequency values. And we do that by what I'm calling an imaginary capacitance peak frequency analysis. So this is the imaginary capacitance. And if you strike a line up here, you see that you can pair this imaginary capacitance value here with its real value up here. If you take those two numbers and you subtract them, you get the capacitance at infinity. If you add them, you get the capacitance in the low frequency or the so-called static static regime. So you'll notice the curves have slight sloping out in here. By looking right in this region, then we get good values for the high frequency and low frequency capacitances. To reiterate a little bit of what I just said, because this is kind of new stuff. So we go at the imaginary capacitance, and we go and look at the frequency, which, by the way, will turn into the relaxation time. So we pick off this value and that value, and then by doing the algebra, we obtain the low frequency capacitance and the high frequency capacitance. This drags you through the algebra that we go through starts off with the sum of the capacitances in parallel, adds in the other capacitors, solves for the distance parameter, and then we go and we take the very first value and subtract it from subsequent values, and that allows us to get rid of the air capacitor and the end effect capacitor, and meniscus effects all disappear for us and give us really good values of the capacitor that we're after. It's the real part of the high frequency capacitance per unit length. The prime tells me it's per unit length. This then, getting these values then are related to that K factor, which is for the blocking capacitor, and then the F factor, which is for the bulk capacitor. Am I really getting that far into it?
You're getting that far, Henry, about 4 minutes.
Okay, thank you. So here's the calibration curve that we ran. We used a number of liquids that you can see here. These are the different dielectric constants, so that allows us to vary this parameter, and we can get the F and K values out, and here they are. We have the numerical values for the F and for the K. Dielectric constants came from Handbook of Chemistry and Physics, and the oils, we just picked numbers out of the literature. So this is the set of equations that take those values and turn them into the R's and C's and the dielectric constants and the relaxation time. So here's the measurements you saw before, and here are now the real dielectric constant and imaginary constants. We're getting for the dielectric constant out here of 78 for water, which is, or 79, or 78 is the published value. So we're really pleased that we see this value coming out. Now Sandy Loam, much more complicated situation. We're doing dry down experiments. That means that we start with 15% water for the red curve and then dry down to basically as dry as we can go. And you see what happens there is that the imaginary capacitance peak just shifts over. It goes from up here in the 10 megahertz range down to into the hertz range. This is now the calculated values, and what I want to bring to your attention is the high frequency dielectric constant out here, and then the peaks for the imaginary dielectric constant start here and then gradually fade, and that just is following the Debye example of n mu square, the number of polarizable units times the square of the dipole moment. So finally, here's the next to last. On the left-hand side, you see the dielectric constant versus water content. And then, as I promised, here's the relaxation time shown as a function of water content. And you can see for high water content, you can identify the capillary region. The break in the curve takes you to multilayer and then into structural region. And so dielectric constant values require a knowledge of the geometrical factor and the imaginary capacitance peak frequency analysis is a way to get at those high and low frequency values and the relaxation times. And the peaks appear in the imaginary capacitance spectra of Sandy Loam, and this provides us with an opportunity not only to determine water content, but also the relaxation time, which is related to the boundness of the water. And I thank you for your attention.
We do have time for one question. Again, wave your arms because we can't see you from up here. Well, thank you. I think you explained it all.